And welcome to this part of the service fellowship. I noticed that they put handrails on the steps here. I'm turning 60 this year. I don't know if it has anything to do with it or not, but we're prepared anyway for that to happen. So it is good to be together, and I thank you for taking the time this morning to come together and fellowship together. I believe it's a very important part of the Christian life that we live in. God has called us in this section of time in history and what is to come to for this group to be sharing together here at this Sunday morning. So you can turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and I'm going to be reading the first 9 verses there. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. If you have a Bible or your electronic device, you can follow along. And I'll read the first 9 verses, 1 Corinthians 3. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk, not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able. For you are still carnal, for where there are envy and strife and divisions among you, are you not carnal? And behaving like mere men. For when one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Verse 5, who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed and as the Lord gave to each one? I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, you are God's building. Let's pause and ask the Lord to bless our thoughts on this scripture. Father, we thank you this morning for your written word. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity we have to experience your word, to look into it, to be able to draw from it. And this morning, hopefully, we can walk away from this place with a new challenge or a new direction, a new hope, a new word from you this morning, or help us, Lord, to see the areas where we can grow in. So, Father, we release this scripture to you, the message, and that the words that are shared here would honor and glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen. It is my heart's desire that, again, this morning to be able to reflect the heart of God in sharing the scriptures with you. I do count it a privilege to be able to share the written word of God and the scriptures, and hopefully we can learn something from them here this morning again. Dave shared the quote that Dave shared, ain't much growth in comfort and there ain't much comfort in growth. And That goes right along with the sermon this morning. Last 2 weeks ago, I talked about being rooted, and I talked about being prepared for the whatever is to come. And are we as families, are we as Christians, are we rooted and prepared to be able to face a storm? And the last 2 weeks ago, when I was thinking about that concept of rooted, and I read from 1 Timothy 4, where there are some things listed there that would show the signs of end times and that kind of thing. And then I Googled the word rooted, and there was a four-part series of messages that came up that I decided to take the thoughts that were connected to the whole rooted idea. And the first one was plant, which we talked about last weekend, the sowing of the seed and making sure that there's fertile ground for the seed to fall on. And there was plant, grow, prune, and harvest. And so I decided to continue on that subject a little bit as we look at the word rooted, as I felt like that was a word that God gave for our fellowship here at New Covenant for the year, that we are rooted, that we don't know what's coming. We don't know what the future holds. We don't know what is ahead of us. So it is imperative that we are rooted and grounded and ready for the winds and the storms that come, and the hopefully the tree will stand. I may have shared this. I think I might have shared this story before. There was a big oak tree behind my father's barn that in the storm Isabel went through, the tree came crashing to the ground. It was a figure about 90 feet high or about 100 feet high, and the branches reached out about 90 feet. And it was 4.5 feet across the circumference of the trunk. But when the tree fell over, it was rotten inside. It was hollow. The roots had no life. And I ask you this morning, how is the growth of the plant, the seed that God put in your heart? How are you this morning? As you think about growth, as you think about being rooted, there is we can see things. So the tree looked good on the outside. It had leaves. There probably a professional would have noticed what was going on, but to our eyes, we didn't notice what was wrong with the tree. How is your spiritual plant growing? So the sermon title this morning would be Rooted Growing. Rooted Growing. Because the first thing that happens when you plant a seed, one of the things that you expect next is what? That it grow, right? When you plant a seed, the soil is right, you've given it fertilizer, you've given it water, it has sunshine, you expect the seed to grow. I was amused just last week or a week before, whatever it was, I saw the neighbor out there in his field. He has sown a crop of barley or whatever it was to grow over the winter. And he was out there picking around in the ground, seeing how the seed was doing, seeing if it was actually growing, what he had planted. And I think we should all take that time once in a while to pick around a little bit and see how's the growth of the seed that was planted in our lives. Because if we're going to grow and be the people that God wants us to be and be rooted, then we need to make sure that the plant is healthy, that it is growing. And there are different ways that can happen. And so with the right conditions, you know, the farmer, he puts the seed in the ground and he plants it and it's watered and it's sunshine and all that stuff. And then the farmer goes out to the end of the row and he gets down on his knees and he wills the plant to come up. No, he doesn't. The farmer plants the seed. It is watered. It is given sunshine. What makes it grow? It's God that gives the increase. It's God that makes it grow. So this morning when we're thinking about the plant growing, what is the most important thing for us as God's people, Christian people, is that the ground is right, that the conditions are right, that we're presenting ourselves in a way that we're at a place where the seed can grow, because it does not grow by what we do. It doesn't grow by how much I will it to grow. It grows and it increases by the power of the Holy Spirit within us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's how it grows. It grows through the power of the Holy Spirit coming forth in our lives. So is it important, the condition or the place of the plant, for it to grow? Yes, it is. One of the things I appreciate about our mission statement here at New Covenant, and New Covenant, for those of you who don't know, has a mission statement that is built on three pillars, and these are the three pillars. And one was to be an evangelical community of believers. Evangelical meaning that we would be a community of believers that would get out and share the gospel message with a lost and dying world. That we would share the message of the gospel to those people that we work with, live with, and intentionally going out to share the gospel message. The other was to covenant together to obey the doctrines of the Bible as outlined in the covenant, maintaining a focus on the spiritual condition of the heart without teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. So there was a desire to remain doctrinally stable and to have the teaching, the sharing of the word, the being true to it. And then the third was to facilitate expressive worship and celebration in the corporate service. And when I thought about
I thought about a plant, and I thought about a plant growing. I thought about our spiritual lives and our spiritual being able to grow, and I thought about these three things, and there's probably more that we could add to it, but I thought about how that when we evangelize, when we go out and share the gospel message with the lost and dying world, it gives God opportunity to grow us. I remember when I got saved, soon after I got saved, there was a brother-in-law of mine that invited me to go along to a prison for a crusade. And that I was a young Christian. I had read the Bible. I knew of the Bible, but I did not, at this point in my life, had not experienced much of the power of the Word of God. And I went into the prison and was sharing there in the prison. I got into a Muslim cell block there, and they knocked every prop out from under me that I had. I was on my face before God saying, God, I don't know how to do this. And God changed me. He helped me to grow. And I thought about the value of evangelism being part of what it takes for a good plant to grow, a Christian, for our Christian lives. And I challenge you this morning that if you have opportunity to share the gospel message with someone within your sphere, do it. Do it. Just do it. I went, I didn't know what to say, I didn't know what to do, and God grew me from that point on. I believe without a doubt that that interaction that I had on that Muslim cell block that day shaped my life because I recognized the need for Almighty God if I was ever going to be if I was ever going to share the gospel message again. Because I was so devastated and felt undone. But God was able to grow me. When we give honor to biblical doctrine, when we give honor to the Word of God, I believe that it creates a place and an opportunity. It sets the soil for us to be able to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the other thing that happened when I got saved. I had read the Bible before, but when I opened this book after the Holy Spirit came within me and the book became alive, the Word of God became alive, and it was able to grow in me, which it didn't happen before. I read it. I grew up in a home that read the Bible. I went to a Christian school, read the Bible, but till I got saved and the Holy Spirit came in, then I was able to understand the Word, and the Word became alive, and the Word became part of me, and I was able to grow. And I ask you this morning, how are you doing? How are you doing with absorbing the Word of God, understanding the doctrines of God's Word? Are you absorbing it? Are you making it part of your daily diet? Because if you are, God can use it to grow you. Worship and celebration. Hallelujah. If it were not for the opportunity that we have to worship and celebrate God, then the rest of it would be kind of pointless. But God allowed us the opportunity that in our lives we have the privilege of celebrating and worshiping what God has done and what He is doing. And it needs to be a regular part of our diet. It needs to be a regular part of our Christian walk with God, is celebration and worship. Do you have something to celebrate this morning? Give me an amen. Hallelujah. You are born again, washed in the blood. God Himself, the creator of the universe, gave His Son to die for you and now dwells in you. That is worth celebrating. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And if we are willing to celebrate, if we are willing to give honor to God, if we are willing to open ourselves up to celebration, God will help you to grow. It will be a growing part of your life. It will make that plant bloom, and the people around you will be able to pick fruit from it. But it is not you. It is not you that makes it grow. It is preparing yourself. It is making opportunity for the Word of God to be able to share that, to be shared that way. All three of these are ways that we can water the seed, a daily diet of evangelism in our life. Is there a daily diet of God's Word in your life? Is there a daily diet of expression, expressive worship in your life? One of the things that blesses me so much is that with giving honor to the Word of God, which I believe is a very valuable place for us to grow as children of God. And here at New Covenant, we have approximately 2.5 hours on a Sunday morning that we spend together. An hour and a half of that 2.5 hours is spent teaching the Word of God. We have 45 minutes of Sunday school teaching. We have 45 minutes, a lot of times, of preaching the Word from the pulpit here. I am blessed that you are willing to sit under the sound of the gospel message and be able to find something there for your spirit to grow. And I hope this morning, that's my heart's desire. That if there's one thing that I felt clear when God called me to lead pastor at New Covenant, the one thing that was really clear to me was, I heard God ask me, will you feed my sheep? And I said, yes, that was the one clear thing that I knew. I wanted to feed God's sheep. And I trust this morning that the message that God brings will be something you can understand and can take with you throughout the week. A healthy, balanced diet is essential for any plant to grow. Listen to this. A healthy, balanced diet is essential for any plant to grow. Think about it. If you were to take a plant and you were to say, well, if a little water is good, then let's give it a lot of water, right? No sunshine, no fertilizer, but let's just give it a lot of water. What's going to happen? The plant will drown. If we decide that sunshine is good, so we give the plant all sunshine, no water, no fertilizer, what happens? It dries up. It burns up. It's no good anymore. And I've kind of likened the water to God's word and the sunshine being our expressive worship, praise, that kind of thing. And you know what? And the fertilizer, I got a little bit mixed up there in my what I wrote down here. But anyway, you get the picture. If we have all three of those, if we have all fertilizer, so if a little fertilizer is good, right? We live in a culture like this. We live in a culture that if a little bit is good, then a whole lot is better, right? No, it's not. But there needs to be a healthy balance. So the person who is geared towards being able to be a person of praise and worship, they say, if you're not praising and worshiping as much as I am and the amount that I do, then you're not quite as spiritual as I am. If you're not the person that is teaching the Word of God, is saying, if you're not into the Word and you're not just absorbing yourself in the Word of God, because there are people that God gives gifts in different areas that He blesses with. But one thing that we have to be careful is that as we fellowship together, that we are not setting ourselves that what I am doing is what is most important. So if I'm evangelizing, then everybody should. If I just immerse myself in the Word of God, then everybody should. Do you follow what I'm saying? There needs to be a healthy balance for a good, healthy plant for us to grow. I'm going to read a couple of scriptures that speak to being rooted in God's Word, and you don't need to turn to them. I'm going to go through them rather quickly. Ephesians 3:17 through 19 says this, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. How are we filled with all the fullness of God? It's found right there in the first sentence, being rooted and grounded in love. Being rooted and grounded in love is how that we come to be filled with the fullness of God. Colossians 3:15 through 17, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom and teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Colossians 2:6-7. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. 1 Peter 2:1-3, therefore laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If indeed you have tasted the Lord is gracious. Ephesians 4:15-16 says this, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth and the body of the body for the edifying of itself in love, that we may grow up in all things in him who is the head, Christ, and it causes growth of the body when we do these things. The growth of a Christian is somewhat complex. It involves a lot of different things. It involves a fellowship of believers, God's word. It involves personal prayer and worship. And these are very important, but they only serve to set up the soil for the Christian's heart. They're very important. The word of God, the fellowship, and prayer are very important, but they set up the soil for God to grow you. And that's the point that I want us to get this morning, is think about it. It is not my responsibility to grow myself. That's God's job. I am responsible to cultivate a heart and life that is conducive for growth. And the rest is God's job, to grow me, to shape me. When I have prepared the soil and I am in a place that is good and provides for the Spirit of God to speak to me. And that does not happen when I am involved in evil things. Then the plant is being exposed to things that will destroy it. It needs to be healthy. And here's what I want you to feel this morning. Your life can change. You can grow. No matter what your situation is, the right conditions, God's work can be effective. Here's the thing to do. Cultivate the soil of my heart. Evaluate the environment I find myself in. If something needs to change so that God can grow me, then I need to make a conscious choice to change. Ask God to grow you. Give you the courage to embrace the growth that comes. Here's a prayer that I copied on this. See if you identify with this. This is a prayer that you can pray to God. I know, God, you desire to see me grow. I know that who I am now is not who I once was, and who I will be is not who I am now. Let me say that phrase again. I know that who I am now is not who I once was, and who I will be is not who I am now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's seeing God working in your life and growing. You know it. Every one of you here this morning can testify to growth that has happened in your life. And because you fail and you mess up and you miss it at times, doesn't mean that you're not growing. It simply means you need to confess. Because in the Lord's Prayer, he tells us to forgive our debts as we forget our debtors. And that's something God told us to pray time and time again. We mess up. Help me to recognize areas of my life that need to be rearranged to create an environment for growth. Give me the conviction to make the changes so that you might have full reign in my life and grow me into the person that you destined me to be. So what are the things that help us to grow? It is, again, like I said, Bible study, church attendance. I believe it is very important. We are post-COVID. That culture that we're living in, there's become an idea that passion for church, and not an idea, it appears like passion for fellowship of the believers has diminished some. And I'm saying if we are going to stay rooted, we need each other. And I know you've all heard the story of the big redwoods in California, how their roots intertwine with each other, and it helps them to remain stable. That's how we need each other. Small group meetings, worship, prayer, be still is one thing the Bible says. Be still and know that I am God. Maybe in our busy culture, that's something we need to hear, is to be still. If we're going to grow, maybe we need to stop once in a while and be still and let God speak to our heart. So after the seed is planted, we expect growth. We expect to see something happen. And so moving into the scripture here, and I'm going to start with verse 5 and read it again, and then we'll get back to verse 1. In 1 Corinthians 3:5, it says, "Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one? I planted," that was Paul, "Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor, for we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, you are God's building." It's important to remember today that it is God that makes things grow. That's a point that I want to leave with you if you miss everything else, is that it's God that makes things grow. And I think one of the things that we see Paul calling out here in this scripture, as you go back to verse 3, it says, "For you are still carnal. For where there are envy and strife and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men?" And one of the things that was happening, there was this here fighting over who was of Apollos and who was of Paul. The people, the men that were sharing the gospel message were getting more credit than God, the one who was giving the increase. And Paul calls them out on it. And unfortunately today that there are, I believe that Paul's calling it out was to put an emphasis on the fact that it's not you and I that make growth happen. It's God that makes it grow. And it's no man that makes it grow. It doesn't matter what I say, if the Spirit doesn't speak to your heart, and I'm saying this from me to you, if I can say everything, I can talk till I'm blue in the face, but if the Spirit doesn't speak to your heart, then the words that I say, they're just empty, right? The Spirit needs to interpret them, and Paul said the fighting needs to stop because it's a sign of immaturity. It's a sign of a lack of growth. Paul's letter was to free them. And so that was Paul's desire for them, was to be freed from that. We are God's field. It's good to know that God is interested in our growth. It is good to know that God cares about us growing. Because what God's heart is, that's what our heart should be. If God's heart is for us to grow, then our heart should be bent on growing as well. And if we're not, find out why not. What is keeping us from growing? Then we go back to verse 1 and 2, and it says, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as carnal, as babes in Christ." And here again, speaking of this subject of growing and how that God wants us to grow, in verse 2, "I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive, and even now you're still not able." And I pictured a grown person laying in a crib in a onesie, sucking on a bottle. I don't know, maybe that's reading something into it, but it seems a little bit like there was those around that were having steak, and there were these that were still feeding on milk when they should be growing on more solid food of God's word. And the challenge then comes to us to go after the solid food and to become mature. And one of the signs of immaturity was their fighting over who they were going to follow. Paul or Apollos. It was a sign of their immaturity. And so I believe that we can evaluate, how am I doing? How am I doing with the milk and the meat of God's word? Have I taken the milk and am I prepared for the meat? And do I open myself up to that? It almost goes without saying that spiritual growth, like natural growth, needs the right environment. Spiritual growth, like natural growth, needs the right environment. And here's where I want to call you to purity again this morning And purity, I mean just in purity of living a pure life for God's word. Because it's ludicrous to think that an apple tree would grow in the Sahara Desert. It won't. It's just as ludicrous to think that my spiritual life will grow if I'm involved in things that do not honor and glorify God. It's like a dry desert. And I ask you this morning, are you involved in things that do not honor and glorify God and are saying, God, why can't I grow? If that's where you're at this morning, take a look. Take a look at what is going on. Take a look at what's going on in your life and what's going on in your heart, and recognize that we can't grow if we don't separate ourselves from the things that keep us from growing. You can't give a plant a weed killer. There's some you can. But you wouldn't nurture a plant with weed killer. And I'm here to tell you this morning, the sexual craziness of our culture is a weed killer. And you know what it's killing? It's killing family. It's killing what God designed. Colossians 2, 6 and 4 says this, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. I quote A.W. Tozer, he says, a whole new generation of Christians has come up, believing that it is possible to accept Christ without forsaking the world. Let me read it again. A whole new generation of Christians has come up believing that it is possible to accept Christ without forsaking the world. And I am here to tell you this morning, there is some really heretical, if I'm saying that, heretic teaching that is going on right around us, right close by. We're not removed from it. If we are going to be rooted, if we're going to stay strong in Christ, we need a healthy diet of the Word of God, evangelism, and praise and worship. We need a healthy diet. Continue to be strengthened in your commitments. Continue to be strengthened in your commitments. Overflow with gratitude and thankfulness. I cannot tell you enough this morning how much of a difference it will make to you. And I have failed in this area at times in my life where I've gone through some difficult times. Let me talk about difficult times. Let me talk about times of adversity versus times of unhealthiness. Are you with me? There are times it is sometimes difficult to understand the difference of when we are in an unhealthy state versus where God is bringing adversity into our lives to help us to grow. I believe he does that. Look at Daniel and look at, you can go the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You can go throughout scripture and find Joseph, who had one of the most horrendous home lives, childhood, whatever you will, allowed to happen to him, adversity to grow him into the person that he wanted to be. But at the same time, there is things that happen to us when we are living our lives in a life of sin or unhealthiness that kind of look the same. And sometimes it's kind of difficult to differentiate. So seek help. Look to someone. If there's something going on in your life that you're saying, God, I just can't seem to get past this. Find someone to talk to. Find someone to talk to. It's not bad to talk to somebody. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay to ask for help. It is. God wants you to be strong. God wants you to be healthy. And he will do whatever it takes. And that doesn't mean that when we're healthy, we're just going to be happy and everything is going to be violets and roses and sweet smells and you know what I'm saying? That's just not the perfect picture of God allowing us to experience adversity so that we can grow, so that the plant becomes strong as it's slapped around a little bit. I've been there. You've been there. You know it. It's important to evaluate our health, the health of our spiritual life, that we might know where we're at. James 1, 2, and we're familiar with this scripture, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. When you're tested and you're tried by various trials, it's important to be prayerful through adversity. When you're going through an adverse time, seek counsel from mature believers, discern health. Be humble enough to say, I need help. All I need to keep me from, it's all I need sometimes. That doesn't make me weak, it makes me human when I need to ask for help. It makes me human, not weak. Ask for help. In conclusion, you might be where you want. You might not be where you want to be right now, but by the grace of God, you aren't where you used to be either. You may not be where you want to be, but by the grace of God, you're not where you were either. And that's the grace that I want to extend to all of us, to give room to grow. It may not feel that way sometimes. That's what I want. It's what I want. To extend grace to be able to grow. Embrace opportunities to be a healthy part of another's growth process. That we can be part of others growing. Keep on meeting with believers. Keep on singing. Keep on praying. Keep on reading God's word. Keep on worshiping. We don't know what's coming, but I do know this, that we want the roots to be set deep so the plant can continue to grow. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to open your word, to look at it. And Lord, thank you for the admonition that the growth that happens, that it comes from you, that you give the increase. You're the one, Lord, that helps the spiritual plant to grow. Father, I pray that you would open our hearts this morning and our minds. If there are areas in our lives that we have exposed the plant to toxins or to things that will ultimately destroy the plant, if we have allowed little worms or grubs or whatever it is to get into the roots, Father, I pray that you would help us to identify the things that will destroy those things, the right pesticide or the right whatever it is that needs to be applied to have the plant become healthy again. Father, I pray for health of New Covenant. I pray that we would continue to be a place where people can pick fruit from that they can grow from. That the people around us, Lord, that as we go out of these doors, Lord, that you be the one that walks with us. You would guide our thoughts, guide our hands, guide our hearts, Lord, that we would reflect you in all that we do. It's not about us, not about me, Lord. But it's about you. It's all about you. So, Father, we invite you to move in whatever way is necessary for the plant to grow and to bring honor and glory to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Invite the chorister to lead us in song, closing song.